Just stick with me.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thatcher, we're glad to have you gone. Oh, what a horrible woman. I'm glad she's gone. You know, she was so polarizing across Britain and parts of the U.S. even that, you know, people over in Britain either love her or they hate her. There's no middle ground with her. There's no, oh, she's okay, I guess. There's none of that. It's either, oh, that bitch, or, oh, yeah, she's a great lady, or, you know, Iron Lady and all this nonsense they're talking about now.
Well,
but anyway.
Jack, I got to tell you, I heard the beginning of Zahid Fraharius, I think is his name, GPS on CNN this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he began with how much he adored and loved Maggie Thatcher.
Oh.
What a strong woman she was. She was a strong woman. She kept
that club
right up her ass the whole time she was in office.
Yeah, Adolf Hitler was a strong man. So what does that say, you know?
Yeah, I'll give you that. But I will say this. A good friend of mine who lives in Glastonbury, who is by no means a Tory, but who is very bridge-building-oriented as far as politics go, said that, you know, if you think about it real hard, people really hated Winston Churchill when he was dying and dead. in England years ago, a lot of people held him responsible for a lot of bad things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we hold Maggie Thatcher responsible for free trade getting such a grip on Western Europe.
Oh, yeah.
The deregulation, let's put it that way, not free trade, but deregulation that the neocons achieved over here.
Right.
So, you know, this in, breaking news from Mikey Koopster, somewhere in New York City right now, to the person with the Christmas tree still up in their window on Riverside Drive. Rock on, slacker. I just had to open
Yeah. Well, I dare say that in 30 years' time or so, people will not be praising Maggie Thatcher anywhere. So I think her reign was short-lived.
Doesn't that depend on who the media is? And speaking of which, we have new media in the room with us right now. Kim G. from AWOP Radio, thank you for joining us, Kim.
Yeah, Kim, welcome aboard. Good to hear from you again.
Thank you for having me today. It was a
Anytime.
Pleasure to join you guys.
You bet.
I will say this. I think it depends on who's writing it. I mean, it's like I said, Zahid Fahrias or Fahrias Zahids or whatever his name is, I have forgotten, over on CNN was talking about what a wonderful lady she was. You know, the lady's not returning. That lady.
Good.
And it's very easy, you know, it's very easy to see someone that polarizing as a great leader. And that's why a lot of people look back now and see Winnie Churchill as this really great leader. And he did soldier on through World War II, and he did stand up and have good strategies at the beginning of the
right.
war. But he was a Tory son of a bee.
Oh, he was a Tory. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, let's keep in mind also, it didn't take very long for Britain to adopt a universal health care system. I think at the tail end of his time in office, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think Clement Attlee shuffled that in. I think it was Winston Churchill. And, you know, a British Tory is a lot different than an American reactionary Republican. There's a big amount of difference.
Well, and in the day, not too long ago, I mean, come on, guys, we're talking Ike. Eisenhower was not kind of a Republican.
Oh, he's a moderate.
And if this were 120 years ago, we'd all be Republicans.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah, you know, well, 120 years ago, I'd say maybe about 140 years ago, during the time of Abraham Lincoln, but... Yeah. 120 years ago, the Republican Party succumbed to the railroad industry and the banking industry, and that's when they really got bad. But, you know, prior to that, they were the great party. They're absolutely a great party. During the early years of their existence, they were a liberal party that, you know, Abraham Lincoln was their first elected president.
Well, yeah, they wanted an end to what actually built the country, slavery.
You're right.
So, you know, you have to remember it's like, well, half you go this way and half you go that way. And it's an unfortunate occurrence that we're talking about Abe Lincoln on the day that he was the anniversary of the day he was assassinated in Ford Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that somewhere today.
That's right. Yeah. Tonight would be the 100 and whatever it is anniversary of his shooting, and tomorrow will be the day that he would have died, right on tax day, oddly enough. You know, it's funny, that's kind of a coincidence, because Abraham Lincoln actually, for a brief time, instituted an income tax, the very first one in American history, and it didn't last too long. And then, of course, it's now the 100th anniversary of the current tax system in this country. The current income tax was created during the administration of Woodrow Wilson in 1913. So, holy cow, where's that 100 years gone, huh?
Jeez, Jack, your check's in the mail, dude. Thank you.
Many trillions of dollars later.
Kim, let me ask you something. What are they talking about on the rest of the? You make the rounds lately on all the more progressive shows. Like, you know, not all of them, but a lot of them. I mean, Nicole Sandler says that we're living in upside down world. That's her favorite.
I like that.
And she's right. She's right. You take a look at what the president is about, what he's doing. I mean, we're on the wrong side of history. Humanity is on the wrong side of its own story right now. Mm-hmm. The majority of our leadership on this planet is just that's where they are. They're cruel. They're isolating for profits. They disallow the kindness and the humanity of caring for people who are ill and for caring for our elders now. And this is this president, too. This is austerity talking about. And for our children. And you know something? The topic of today's show, which is supposed to be guns and the gun issue, that's caring for our children. And the president right now is using that as his big, you know, rainmaking drum that is basically smoke and mirrors to deflect any kind of bad criticism about what, you know, is actually going on with this budget, which is basically austerity measures.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah.
What are they saying out there, Kim?
Oh, well, you know, I think people are starting to wake up. I mean, I don't know to have anybody to really, well, yeah, I could give you one quote from one person that I listen to faithfully every single week, and that's Bill Moyers. And he is really bringing the plain language about what's really going on here. And to be honest with you guys, I really think that, and I, you know what? If you want to send me some flack for saying this, send it on. But Americans have a real problem with being naive. I'm just going to throw it out there on the table. We really do.
I agree.
We like to think that we are so smart and we are so metropolitan and we are so on top of everything. But the fact is that
we're not.
You know, when you ran through that little history lesson right there, the two of you, and you bantered back and forth about basically the history of what's been going on in Europe with Thatcher, from Thatcher to Churchill. And I just sit back and I feel warmed. My little cockles feel warm that there are people, there are citizens in this country that know these things.
Right.
Because I'm telling you that a large majority of people out there has no idea about that history. They don't understand the first thing about it.
They don't want to know about it and they don't want to understand it. All they care about is the here and now.
Yeah,
that's
and that disassociation from your history and the past is really crucial to allowing yourself to be used and manipulated in the ways in which corporations do that for us today.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where
they prey on people's ignorance, and they use it against the population. It's their hallmark.
Yeah,
but
and I see that.
That's our job, Kim. Well, our
that's
job
right.
To wake people up. That's what we're doing out here is awakening. And I know on the Sunday show here, I can sound pretty much like the ramrod of the angry, you know, radical. Well, that's because I have this wonderful Jack next to me who says everything from a really, truly progressive stand.
Right.
And he brings an even Steven to it because he comes from it like, well, yeah, but Gwen, we have a system that has a whole lot to hold on to and to fix, and that's what we're about. And on the other hand, I'm over here, you know, just give me the pitchfork and the hammer handle, and I'll stand here ready with it and talk it up.
I think we're all in sympathy with your viewpoint, Gwen, and I'm not this milquetoast guy that'll, you know, I don't go along with every crazy notion that comes out of the mildly liberal camp. I mean, I want some concrete action, and I want it now. And I'm tired of this nonsense. But on the other hand, I don't believe in throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and I do believe in preserving some good things that we've accomplished, and I don't want to destroy everything in the process. That's my whole point, and I'm not trying to be totally moderate in that regard. I'm pretty far left compared to most of my friends.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. But you know what? You are a gentleman about it.
Well, that's important. I think that's important to be ladies and gentlemen in the argument and in the discussion.
Right, Chuck.
There's no need to be nasty. There's no need to be personal. There's no need to be cutting.
Oh, boy. Which reminds me, and this is a beautiful moment to bring it up, everybody, the Stream of Consciousness, Stunning King of Stream of Consciousness Radio, Pinko the Bear, will be back on the air right here on Here Be Monsters. It's the Pinko the Bear Show, and that's going to be midnight straight up. Tuesday, our time, it'll be actually turn into Wednesday when he comes on. But you talk about getting angry, getting mean, and getting mad. But he rants a good rant. He's a teacher like you, Jack. His history of socialism
right.
and unions and what really went down. You know, that's the other part about it, Kim. I mean, don't you think that the actual history of this country is like, I mean, you, for the first time I heard you say on the, I can't remember what show I heard you say it on here in the last few days, but you're actually a vet of the Gulf War.
Yes.
That's
Gulf
War, right? The one.
What was that? I'm sorry?
That would be the first Gulf War, right?
Yes. First Gulf War, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Operation, what was that one named?
Desert Storm?
Yeah, Desert Storm.
Okay.
I'm glad you're
I don't remember the name of the war I was in. I'm sorry.
That's okay, no problem. A lot of times you want to forget that sort of thing.
Well, my trip to war was anything but, it wasn't traumatic for me because I was in the medical field. I was a paramedic in the Air Force, and I went to Germany, to Zweibrücken, Germany, with my hospital that was my group that was stationed at Carswell in Fort Worth, Texas. And we set up a contingency hospital, a third echelon unit for people coming out of the actual war zone and staging them back to the U.S. And as you may remember, in the first Gulf War, it was a bit of a cakewalk, at least for the United States anyway.
Right.
It wasn't so great for the folks on the ground there and so the carnage that occurred there. But basically I spent 4 months in a great little German town drinking awesome beer, eating the best food I've ever had in my life.
Great, yeah.
And I think we saw maybe one actual bullet injury, and that was self-inflicted. So,
You were very fortunate in that regard because a lot of people did have to deal with that, the horrid consequences of war.
They did. And in our own ranks, our own soldiers
there.
I know I saw a documentary several years, I guess, after I got back, that outlined a particular attack that was made on a caravan of refugees and people that were trying to escape. And I think they basically just murdered them and annihilated them. And, they were talking to soldiers that were involved in that, and their lives are forever
changed,
damaged because of that. And just like today, having the soldiers doing what they're being told to do in war nowadays. I don't know how you live a normal life after that. I really don't.
Yeah. No wonder we have the outbreaks of violence and things that we have in this country today. I mean, our entire country is enmeshed in violence, violent games, violent TV shows, violent movies, violent books. I mean, it's almost unavoidable. I mean, I think there's more violence than sex in the media than there is today, and I think that's very unfortunate.
Well, yeah, and you know, for me, I've got this new kind of a mantra, and it's not government, it's the corporations.
Right, exactly.
You know, I hear people say, "Oh, government this, government that," and you know,
government is the dupe of corporations. It's the tool the corporations use to get their message and their influence across.
Government is owned. It is owned.
It's owned. That's right. Very true.
Yeah,
I got a step in there. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Is that it's a It's a tool of extraction. It's a
yes.
tool that extracts wealth from
right.
the majority and gives it to the wealthy. And
right.
that's pretty much all it is at this point.
Well, you know, it was that way when industrialization got going so quick. And it's from Pinko that I learned, actually, that the reason that Christmas has become so commercialized and such a huge event
uh-huh.
is because the people who are being crushed under industrialization with the lousy wages and let's talk, you know, the shirt waist fire or shirt waist triangle fire and
mm-hmm.
all of those kinds of occurrences and incidents and events that were going on, actual tragedies,
mm-hmm.
and the child labor and all of that was happening. People were getting to the point of actually getting not just into the streets, but overrunning the government houses because
oh, yeah.
and overrunning their corporate offices with the industry. So
right.
basically, the huge amount of the larger industry got together on this one and said, you know, in D.C., I believe it was, that they came up with the idea of working it out by giving everybody Christmas bonuses, turkey, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, presenting goodwill and,
yeah.
from the bosses there, as it were. And that's how Christmas began to get commercialized, which has ultimately turned into another form of financial slavery.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's really regrettable that they didn't apply that same logic to weekly paychecks and to... more frequent bonuses and things like that. I mean, if they would just share the wealth a little bit more instead of trying to stick it all in their pocket, people would be a lot better off.
You know, Jack, I think this is the first time I would say this with the correct, you know, effect. God forbid.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Well, you know, corporations now, and when I say corporations, I mean that as a... as an extension of the wealthy, of the 1%.
Right. Because that's what it is, basically.
There's the wealthy, and then there's the tool they use called
mm-hmm.
corporations in conjunction
right.
with a tool called the government to
right.
extract wealth and resources from the world. And
mm-hmm.
that's basically the food chain now. The whole ecology has changed.
Yes.
And so that's our new dynamic now. That's how the world works now. And we've let that happen, so shame on us. But, oh, well, it's time to
yeah.
stand up and change it. That's all there is
yeah.
to that. Like, okay.
I agree. And, you know, I see corporations as a King Midas of shit. Everything they touch turns not to gold but to shit because it destroys people's lives. It destroys people's livelihoods. It destroys communities. It destroys everything because it's all built around greed rather than commonality. And if it was built on commonality and common good, it'd be a hell of a lot better in this world, but unfortunately, corporations take the wrong approach, and that's why we're dealing with so many of their negative after effects.
Well, and as Anita Stewart is pointing out from the chat room, one of the most fantastic organizations working right now to get corporate rule abolished that way is the Move to Amend. That's movetoamend.org.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a really wonderful, wonderful organization. And Jack, we've had the fellow who David, somebody who is behind that, on the show with us.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, corporations are really they're the worst possible creation that the business community has ever come up with. It's absolutely the worst. In the very early days, they were limited by law to certain amounts of time and certain goals, and they're limited by law, legally, to only achieving certain things. All of a sudden, that was thrown out all together, and now they can do whatever they damn well please, as often as they want, as frequently as they want, as widespread as they want, with no holds barred. And you know what? They need some severe regulation.
Well, and here's the point, another point Ania is making. Corporations are now writing our legislation. And welcome, David, into the room. David, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, David.
Hello. How are
you? Hi, buddy. Good.
Not doing too bad. Just sitting around doing my taxes. Blah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100th anniversary of the income tax.
All right. I was having a big cake.
So celebrate.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we're talking about the negative effects of corporations. And, you know, I've been railing on this for years, and Kim has too, and Anita Stewart and everybody. We all realize what the dangers they pose and what the damage they've done. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
But it's taken to a whole new level now. I mean, we're in a whole new stratosphere of danger.
Oh, anything goes completely now.
And we've ever been, because now they want us to consider them to be people. Well, how many people do you want in your society who have no empathy, they have no conscience, they have none of the finer human components such as those things. They have no soul, they don't care.
Right.
About
they have no humanity.
Well, they're sociopathic, they're antisocial, they're anti-people.
And so if you want to be a person, okay, that's fine, but guess what? You're a sociopath.
You know what? You have to have responsibility as a person. You have to act responsibly. Corporations do not.
Well,
another thing I might add is that there's a lot of the government that's being replaced by the private sector. I mean, I give,
that's
for example, the war in Afghanistan,
yeah.
That a lot of the special operations and stuff were taken over by Blackwater and all these other private armies.
That was a horrible mistake Bush made.
You know what,
another I might bring up is the prison system. I mean, a lot of states have a private prison system.
That's right. Terrible.
And it's a multi-level chessboard, and they are on all these different levels throughout society. It's completely woven through our entire society, and it happens at every level simultaneously,
right,
up and down
yep.
this three-dimensional board. And, I mean, it's just, you know, there's a list as long as my arm. About what corporations are taking over. Exactly.
All-encompassing. Exactly. It's terrible.
And the question is now, okay, we need to identify these things and catalog them and get clear about that, absolutely. But, you know, one of the things that I'm wondering is, do we have time to sit back and still be starstruck that this is actually where we are? Don't you see? I mean, I see that with a lot of people where they're still grappling with just coming to terms with the fact that this is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys see that?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. I see a lot of
not enough people realize it, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And are stuck in that place where it's like, I can't believe Mitch McConnell said this. I'm like,
oh, he's an idiot.
And you should. You know, we need to go ahead and now we need to take some action.
And the son of a bitch actually used Nixon as his example.
What were we saying about history earlier? And no knowledge of.
Yeah, well, and that's inexcusable for a senator, for God's sakes. Or, you know, in his case, he knew what he was talking about. He's just twisting it his way.
Well, I mean, it has to be clarified that the goals of a corporations aren't always the best goals to achieve for a government. I mean,
no, they're only good for the
just
corporation.
Just because a business is successful, that doesn't mean that it always works for other things, you know.
Right, very true.
The end-all profit motive is not the best thing for society always.
No.
And some people can't get past that.
Don't forget, you guys, that you guys are a commodity, okay? To the corporation, we are a commodity.
Right.
To be bought and sold and profited on and traded in a manner that best suits their needs.
It reduces everybody to a pure material object, which we are not.
And that's the problem. And there's
going
to be
a big
problem.
You identified it, Kim. That's right.
It comes down to that. It really does.
Well,
that's the way they like to have it.
That's the way they want it, right.
And you want to know why they're trying to destroy education? Because they don't want people to be able to figure that out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They want a willing nation of stupid slaves is what they want.
Hating on each other, pointing their little guns at each other, fighting
exactly.
over their little guns, their little AK-47s or whatever the hell that don't
That's
make
right.
any difference in the big scheme of things other than to kill each other and each other's children, just
mm-hmm.
so that we can foment more hate and all that
yeah.
can be focused on instead of.
As long as the natives are fighting each other, they won't raise their guns to them, and that's what they're trying to do.
Well, you know, just a minute, folks. So Mr. O'Brien there in the chat room is saying that the entire purpose of corporations is to gain more wealth for the stockholders. Well, that might have been in one day. However, there is a thing called conscious business and green business, and people who are actually creating and planning business, and business corporations are how we actually organize business in this country right now. I'm a corporation, guys. Daughters of Isis is a corporation. I am a conscious businesswoman.
And
I care about my customers, and my customer service is sincere. And there are a lot of companies out there that are just like me, really wonderful companies that are doing really good jobs. And they're
unfortunately, none of you rule Wall Street.
Well, you know, but this is how you build coalitions and you collaborate.
That's what we need.
I will use a Kim word, collaboration here. This is how you do this. You build the idea and put it out there, because there is a look at, I'll give you a case in point, Whole Foods. This guy is out there trying to tell people, he's even written a damn had a book ghosted under his name about conscious business and green business. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the side of the mouth talking so-and-sos who is using the popular, now mind you, popular demographic of purchasing people in this country who are still making a good living, who want organic food, non-GMO food, la, 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 all of that, who are, you know, wonderful with their blinders on, some of those unwoken up people there too. However, they represent people who, once they know the truth, are, you know, and they will completely change their buying, their the way that they make choices of government, la, 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 on and on. But this is somebody who's actually using this strategy to corner more a larger profiteering market. So this tells you something very big. It tells you that conscious and green business and strategies by corporations that are working to heal humanity and the planet right now have a foothold in our societies.
Mm-hmm.
Right, David?
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I want to just bring up just one thing that happened a few months ago it wasn't a few months ago. It came out two months ago, with the Mitt Romney thing and the tape coming out, the guy coming out and saying, yeah, I shot the video, Mitt Romney going on about the wonders of Chinese women making a pittance, creating small appliances in China behind walls with turrets with guards. Which are not prisons, by the way. Don't think they are, because they're not. That's to keep people from coming in and just starting to make small appliances, in, you know, on an impromptu basis, and then expect to be paid for it. Like, you know, like I know how to put together a woman's shaver, right? Okay, but you know, and you're just going to climb over this wall and go start doing it and hope that somebody's going to pay you. That was the lamest crap I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Well, what do you expect but lies from that guy?
Here is the thing. It was the tone in his voice, the joy.
Oh, yeah.
That's what makes him and his friends happy and joyful, is the thought of these women suffering under these conditions, making them lots of money. Now, that is why corporations don't want an educated public, is because they really don't want to have to pay people a decent wage when they can get those women over there to do it for them, and they'd really like to see that same model here.
They'd like to see it universally. That's right.
That's
very true,
exactly,
Kim.
Right.
Very true.
So that's in, John, I'm just saying that in answer to your, they want a nation of stupid people. Yes, they do.
Right.
They do.
Gwen, I just want to remind you, it's already halfway through the hour. I can't believe it. And you wanted to make a pitch or something?
Oh, yeah. I was going to play a mid-show promo. Okay, y'all.
There you go.
You're not allowed to laugh at me on this now. One of my homemade dealies. Okay.
Okay.
Right back.
excellent progressive rock piece. Excellent job.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters with Seth Godel and Gwen Berry. Please remember to check out Saturday Afternoon Post. That's Jeff Jodell's blog. And we'd like you to pay attention to our sponsors, Roundtree 7, that's the number 7.com, bringing knowledge to the social consciousness. DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Go on over there and explore. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com. And TCPM, the Commons Project Network. It's a project between, well, it's a project building support and community between citizen journalists, alternative and independent media, and those who would just get up and talk truth to power, speak it clearly and plainly in blogs and on social media and social networks and radio and video. That's TCPN. Yeah, rolling off. Okay.
Superb. Sorry I talked over it.
Actually, I need real critical response to that, but I'm hearing it with my own ears.
Well, I'm glad you used a progressive rock piece for your progressive message. And
Hello.
Very good.
We're trying hard. I want to, and at the same time, I'd really like to acknowledge all of the wonderful people in the chat who are contributing some wonderful stuff to this conversation. And hi, Tim Waters, it's good to see you. And John O'Brien and Anita Stewart, thank you guys for being here, and everyone else who's listening out there in chat. So, soldiering on here. What, everybody all of a sudden is quiet?
No, I was
contemplative.
Just thinking about that music. That music just put me in a real, like, mellow, contemplative state. I'm just susceptible to that sort of thing, I guess.
Well, that's very good. That's a good way to be.
It's like, nice. It's like,
thank
nice.
You, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. And too bad we don't have a lot more of that available today.
Yeah.
That's true. But then again, we're all kind of kicking. I like that one group. You know what group I like, and I can never pronounce their name. Gotia, is that it? Gotia, you know. Does anybody know who I'm talking about?
Goche.
No.
Goche.
Goche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goche.
They're really.
Yeah, he's got that one song. I forget what it's called, but yeah. They're pretty good.
There are some.
How do you spell that, David?
G-O-T-Y-E.
G-O-T-Y-E. I'll have to take a look for that. Yeah.
They are excellent. They are absolutely excellent. So, David, going into the second end of this, I would love to know what you think about what's going on with this gun thing. Why in the world would politicians stand in front of cameras and actually defend not making the right choices after the tragedies we've witnessed in the last year? Why? Why is this happening?
I don't know. I mean, you and I have the ways that we think, but then they have their ways. And the only thing I can think of is they look at it like it's some sort of freedom issue. Like it's,
they're insane.
It's like a fundamental right. They've interpreted Second Amendment as like some sort of freedom thing that they can have any kind of weapons they want.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that, anything that restricts that in any way, is taking away that freedom. I mean, that's the only way.
In the old West, in the wild, wild west that we look back on now as being very primitive and kind of crazy, they had gun laws that we don't have today. They had forbidden, at the borders of a town, you couldn't bring your guns in. You couldn't bring your guns into churches. Today, none of that exists. So, you know, if gun laws were that prevalent back then, and they worked fine for the people back then, why can't we have some gun restrictions today? That's what I say. And there's no, there's absolutely, this is this idea that, oh, the government's scheming to take everybody's gun away and make everybody a political prisoner and stick them in a camp somewhere. That's pure insanity.
Well, it is. And, you know, if someone thinks that their shotgun or their AK-15 or what AR-15 is going to stop the government if they truly wanted to take over a town or something.
Right.
And they have clearly disillusioned themselves with modern warfare.
They're crazy. Yep.
Yeah.
It's a flawed argument to begin with. So these people are,
it's a flawed argument.
They're crazy.
And another thing is there's a tremendous amount of money by the arms manufacturers that continue this myth and perception that it's a freedom issue, similar to the no smoking campaigns where it was supposedly a freedom issue. You know, you had the right to smoke wherever you wanted to. I don't know if you remember that campaign.
Oh, yeah. And wherever you wanted to, yeah.
Yeah, the NRA is very efficient with their money, and they're well-funded, and you know, they're very organized, and, you know.
Well, I have a post right now that's out that's advocating people joining the NRA and turning it around the right way and getting rid of all these idiots at their leadership positions, like Wayne LaPierre and the gun owners of America's Bill Richardson. Those people are insane, and they don't belong in the chairs they're sitting in. They belong to be thrown out on the street. And, you know
well,
what?
You have to think about what the purpose of the NRA is. The NRA is to continuation of the sale of guns without any kind of restrictions. If that's what you look for the purpose of the NRA, then it's the guy's perfect for it. You know, if the NRA was for responsible gun ownership, then it would be completely different.
Exactly.
But it's not.
It's not,
The purpose of the NRA is to eliminate
perpetrate more gun sales among more people, just an insane amount of gun sales, you know, increase all the time. It's insane.
And,
it's also
malignant. Foster this atmosphere of paranoia and fear. So they have the sales peak. Every time Obama says something or some school shooting is the catalyst for some laws, the sales of guns go through the roof.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it's this constant thing. I mean, how many times has it gone through the roof?
You know, the amount of guns in families has decreased over the years, but the amount of guns per owner has increased. Now, what is the sense of that?
Well, there's no sense in it.
It's insane.
There's no sense on stockpiling bullets and
right.
I mean, around here they have people that wait in line for the stores to open up to buy bullets.
What a bunch of fools.
Well, it is a bunch of fools, but, you know, it's a bunch of
I know, it's a reality we have to deal with, unfortunately.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's real strange.
But anyway, that's my thoughts on the NRA.
Yeah, and we're in agreement. But it's crazy, man. It is absolutely crazy out there.
Well, it is, but it's the game that's being played, and you have to realize what the rules are.
And a lot of people are being played for suckers.
They are. I mean, they have their soldiers out there, the membership of the NRA. I mean, a lot of them go along with it sort of silently. Some of them are as radical as the leadership, but most of them, if you probably got them in the corner somewhere, they probably are for some gun restrictions. You know, they realize.
Oh, a lot of them are. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never hear that in public.
It's a small amount of leaders that reside near the nation's capital that are over there they're not like their membership at all. You know, it's kind of like Congress really doesn't reflect what America is all about. It reflects the elitists and all the well-to-do people and the wealthy and all that stuff. The same thing with the NRA and GOA types. They're the executive boards. They're not like regular. They're not like their membership. They don't reflect the will of their membership.
That's the whole key is to discover the logic of the NRA is to define its purpose, and you have to define its purpose by the sale of guns. It's not responsible gun ownership. It's the sale of guns. That is their whole reason.
Yeah. Well, I'd like
to see
all those groups
are perfectly valid.
I'd like to see those groups overrun with common sense people that would completely revamp their outlook and their practice and everything.
But the sale of guns in the kind of quantities and to a greater degree, the guns that we would like to see regulated and all of what has stood in the Congress for the last couple of months is about people who are purchasing huge amounts of firearms because of militia involvement.
Insane.
Or survivalism. What do they call them now? It's something oomers or something.
They call them crazies.
Well, yeah, but let's talk about it in a minute, Jack. Are these folks, are survivalists really crazy? Take a look at what's going on the planet. I mean, I would find it hard-pressed to sit and do a show with some folks who might say that preppers, that's it, Anita, thank you, preppers. And I'm sure, David, you've seen a few of them around in Oklahoma.
Yeah, a few. Yeah, they're like real scarce, but I've seen a few.
Yeah.
Thank God for that. Yeah.
Yeah. But
doomsday preppers. Yeah, it's crazy.
There's a lot of responsible gun owners here in Oklahoma. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and there's a lot of crazy people
in every state. In every state, there are. Yeah.
But
responsible gun owners, for the most part, do not, they're not against people being background
checked for background checks.
Checked and the inability to purchase, you know, large loading
magazine clips.
Magazine
yep.
clips or
yeah.
automatic weapons that are, I mean, you're going to go out and hunt turkey with an Uzi, are you? That's,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing is you got to have a little bit of common sense and say, okay, hunting is fine and ownership
yeah.
of guns is fine, but there's
mm-hmm.
no reason to have
100-round magazines,
and
right.
there's no reason to have some of these stuff that goes on at these gun shows.
What's wrong?
And
right.
it's just being responsible. I mean, mm-hmm. why should anybody object to having a 3 or 5 day background check before they purchase a gun?
Yeah,
or
nobody should.
License, going and having to participate. If you want those guns so badly, why not have to go and take classes? I mean, I got a hunting license in upstate New York for bow season to take my camera and travel with the guys, and I had to go through the classes. I mean, you have to be...
to learn how to drive a car, you have to do the same thing.
Yeah, you have to pass a test. And
right.
Exactly.
You
know, let's get with
it,
guys.
You have some responsibility for your
own. Exactly.
Ownership.
So why then, logically speaking, and in the sane world, why can't the same rules and regulations apply to gun ownership? That's a simple request, and it's very reasonable.
And there's a lot of this, what you would call a gray market, where you have these gun shows. I noticed John O'Brien mentioned something about not allowing fully autos in Illinois. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's been to a gun show, but you can go to any booth practically, and you buy the parts to make the
semi-automatics you want.
Into fully automatics.
You can get
pretty much
you want.
Anything you want, you know,
mm-hmm.
all sorts of kits and, you know, silencers. I've seen everything.
Yeah, you see it all there.
People should be, there should be some kind of authority that actually, and I'm going to use this word fully with the knowledge of what I'm saying, that polices those shows. And the people who are selling that kind of stuff should be pressed to the full extent of the law on
right.
There's plenty of places they're selling it right out in the open where it's illegal.
Yeah.
And
right.
No, the whole thing is just have a little bit of compromise. Don't be so extreme on the, you know, the NRA.
Exactly.
They just compromise a little bit and
nobody's
and
gonna
so
take everything away from you. Nobody's gonna put you in a prison somewhere.
That's right.
Get your
yeah.
head on, pal. Get your head on, you know.
But again, you can't think logically. You got to think about what their purpose is. Their purpose is gun sales.
Yeah,
that's
all they care
that's
about.
That's what it is. Yeah.
They don't care about murders. They don't care about any of that stuff.
Not
all
the
they care about is their
the
gun
NRA,
sales.
The leadership of the NRA.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're horrible
yeah.
people. Very true. Kim, what are you finding out there as you travel around the blogs? What are you, pretty much the same sentiment?
Yeah, well, you know, it's with the NRA, I love what you brought up about that group, thinking about joining them to change it versus trying to change it from the outside.
That's my current blog at Saturday Afternoon Post right now.
Oh,
that and other things that we can use to battle these groups.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I'm glad you brought that up. And then, but you know, here's the bottom line, you guys. Mayhem is profitable.
Yeah.
It profits the corporation.
Oh, yeah.
Level. It profits at the sell. It profits at the point of sale. It
mm-hmm.
profits at the point of incarceration. It
mm-hmm.
profits at the point of background check. It profits at every level of society, and society suffers
mm-hmm.
for it at
right.
every level of society.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so we have that part of the equation, and then there's the part where just the whole story, the whole narrative of the John Wayne, you know, you have to take on the bad guys narrative
mm-hmm.
that's been spun from everything from terrorists to liberals to you name it.
Yeah,
and
they always got to have a bad guy to point at, you know.
You know, they have to have someone, and they're being used, and that's
oh, yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of taking the power away from them through their own organization. That
right.
really... Yep. When you said
yeah,
that,
short circuit them. Let's give them a taste of their own medicine.
You know what? I'm a gun owner. I have two guns.
Yeah.
You know what? I would support an organization that would not be trying to do things to tear down society, but be
right.
smart about gun ownership in society. I would
exactly.
support something like that.
Well, you're what is called a responsible gun owner. You know,
well,
you use
also,
it responsibly.
I,
you believe in responsible legislation.
Gun ownership is not just about the gun owner, and that's really the bottom line there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about just the gun owner. It's
well,
about
the sellers and everybody.
Jack, are you a gun owner?
No, not at all. Never have been, never will be.
David, are you a gun owner?
I've had all sorts of guns, but not right now. I got kids, and I sort of believe not having them around when I have kids.
Yeah, okay. Good point.
Because I was a kid once, and I know how I got into everything I wasn't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I had I had a real near miss with a gun when I was a kid. I could have killed someone, and it was a pure
innocent
stroke
act.
Of luck that it didn't
yeah.
happen. And ever since
yeah.
then, I'm like, no, I agree with you, David. If I had children in this house, I would not have a gun in this house.
Yeah.
It would be too dangerous.
But yeah, I've had everything from shotguns to 45, 1911 45s, had a chrome-plated George Patton type 45,
mm-hmm.
and all sorts of shotguns and 22s and you name it.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing right
now. A lot
now.
Of my relatives are gun owners and responsible hunters, and they support realistic gun legislation.
When's the last time anybody, well, I know, Kim, you just told us that when you were in service, you saw a gunshot wound.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last anyone has seen or been near anyone who's been shot?
I have.
Well, if you've been in the medical field, you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
go to the ER any Friday night.
Yeah,
I'm just looking for the average experiences here. David, when was the last time you were around it?
Well, I was in college, and there was this club that I was at, and I was talking to a friend, and he wasn't a good friend. He was just someone I had acquaintance with in college,
mm-hmm.
and this guy came up behind him and shot him in the head as I was talking to him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did he die?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's a glancing wound. But, oh, that's terrible.
No, it was, it was, some of the stuff was on me. But
oh my God,
no,
what a horrible thing.
It really affected me for a long time.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, it wasn't a close friend, but the guy, he had thought that this other guy, the one that got shot, had been chasing after his girlfriend, and the guy was a little kooky anyway. And he just came up behind him and shot him. I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
no rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah.
But,
what a terrible
that's
thing.
That's a perfect example of why guns are just too many, too much. I live in a neighborhood that, you know, sometimes I've heard, not very often, but sometimes I've heard the pop and I know what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
And once under the streetlight late at night, I heard a pop. I walked outside my side doors, and there was a guy walking away and a kid laying on the ground. That was 4 years ago. Well, I was just starting to do these shows, actually. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned it then. But my point is that, you know, in the Western world, guns are just, they're everywhere. And most of the time when you hear about the everyday occurrence, it doesn't matter if it's a handgun or an automatic weapon. In the hands of people who are not, there has to be some kind of
restriction.
Filter here.
Right. Yeah. Well, let's look back at the facts here. 300 people a day, every single day, are wounded by a gun in this country. That's extreme. 30,000 people die of gunshot wounds every single year in this country. That's insane.
Oh, that's one of the reasons why I think that before ownership, a person has to go through like a class. And part of that class would be teaching them the respect and getting through to them how that bullet that
temper management,
never
all that
coming
stuff.
Back, and
right.
the decision that you make could affect you for the rest of your life.
Very
and
true.
That
is something to be respected at all times.
Right.
That would weed people out, too. You know, the instructor would see something that was off,
right.
and those who are just too anxious would, of course, that's not going to stop the huge volume of sales in illegal weapons.
But it would reduce the flow to a certain extent, and anything we can do that is great.
Well, you know what? And prosecuting the people who are caught, instead of putting people who are getting popped for a bag of pot into the
mm-hmm.
system, let's
right.
put real criminals into jail, right?
Right, exactly. Good point.
Plus, I mean, you can't bring up an argument that people would get it illegally anyway because, I mean, look at cars. They have speed limits.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't say that, oh, look, some people are going to speed anyway, therefore we shouldn't have a speed limit.
I agree.
Know,
what a great analogy.
Have,
I agree.
You have to at least make the attempt of trying to control.
Yes, yeah.
So the thing is that it's still up to our chosen leadership, our legislators,
mm-hmm.
to do something to create the needed filters and buffers to bring
right.
down gun violence and the tragedies that it is causing.
And there's a lot of historical precedent set already for such legislation. Why in the hell are guys choosing to ignore it now and come up with these lame excuses that all they do is protect gun sellers? They don't protect the public at all.
Well, they used to have a little bit of restrictions on what they call the assault rifles.
Oh, yeah. Until the Bush administration did away with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what is classified as an assault rifle. I mean, it's just by the way it looks or the magazine clip or...
Well, all of that.
I'm not quite clear about what that is.
The rate of fire, all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Well, full auto, I never really understood, but full auto means something that you pull the trigger and it spends
every machine gun,
bullet.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I've shot a friend of mine had a collection of guns and crossbows up
mm-hmm.
in his farm in Massachusetts, and I've shot
mm-hmm.
a lot of strange guns. I shot a World War II machine gun, which was, oh, my God, it made me jump up and down.
Yeah. And you know, they outlawed the use of machine guns by private individuals in this country during the gangster eras of the 1930s, 1934. And it led to the immediate lowering of deaths by machine gun fire, and nobody had an outcry against that law. Nobody raised hell about it, and it saved a lot of lives in the process. So why don't people come to their senses and do the right thing?
There's no accounting, Jack. There's just
I know. It's absolutely unbelievable.
And I think that during the 70s, when contemporary terrorism started to kick up a lot, you
mm-hmm.
saw it, especially there was, at the same time that there's all this tragedy and violence going on, there's also the romance with the gun that you say, look at our Hollywood industry and everything that you've been seeing,
oh, yeah,
been written lately. It's all quite true. I mean, hey, I sat down a week ago and watched The Expendables. I thought, you know, I love to watch those guys. You know, it's mindless action. But really, when I sit down and think about it, yeah, they're just perpetuating this this image of glamour attached to mercenary work and
mm-hmm.
high-powered guns and all of that. But where do we draw the line? Do we draw the line at these, you know, at the ability of people to watch their favorite movies or kids? Now, the one kid who was involved in the shooting in Sandy Hook was, wasn't he addicted to the
video games and that? Yeah.
Well, I've played the World War II game with my nephew, and
mm-hmm.
I have to say I enjoyed it. It was fun,
sure.
But I knew what it was. It was a
video. Well, you knew it was fantasy. You know, it wasn't the real thing.
And
wasn't real people dying.
Does it indicate something? What do you think?
Right.
Yeah, but
right.
Some people can't distinguish between fantasy and reality.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Well, I'm going to leave the conversation right now, but I want to wish everybody a very progressive week and a gun-free violence, or a freedom from gun violence week. Let's put it that way. How does that sound?
Sounds good, Jack.
Great, and thanks everybody for listening this week. I'll let you guys continue onward, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, bye, Jack.
All right, bye-bye now.
You know, I was looking up the civilian firearms per 100 residents. And, of course, the United States is ahead. There's 89 firearms per 100 residents. And the next is Switzerland. And I believe Switzerland, they have mandatory gun ownership, if I'm not mistaken.
Mandatory gun ownership?
Yeah. You know, it's like they're a militia. Every
okay.
male is required to train,
yeah.
and they're supposed to have a firearm.
Okay.
And then the next after that is Sweden for 31. But the United States is almost triple what everybody else is.
It's incredible.
It is.
And you have to remember that a lot of the purchasing that goes on in this country that make up those numbers is leaving the borders of the country.
But the truly amazing number is, see, I mentioned Switzerland, who had 46 per 100, and United States, which has 89 per 100, okay, Switzerland has 40 homicides per year by firearms. Now, get this number. United States has 11,078 homicides by firearm every year. So it's like an enormous amount. It's right up there. The closest one is Mexico because of the drug wars they're having. But
it's a vast gulf. It really is. I understand what you're saying. There's not a whole lot that really speaks for people being able to purchase guns at whenever they want. There's everything that is indicating we really need to do something, because now the communities are at risk the way they are, and still there's no getting through to these fellows in Washington. What astounds me, which really creeps my head out, is that, and Kim mentioned this before, that we are a naive country and that we're unawake. We are sleeping to the truth of what is happening out there. People just, how can this be that folks are not even, after Sandy Hook and with the smoke and mirrors that the president is using on this topic this week, how can people still listen to the crap that legislators who are standing by and sinking all of this gun control in Congress, how can they stand by and allow this to happen? I really don't get it.
Can I offer a suggestion?
Well, it's because they collect a lot of money from the lobbyists. You know, they get pressured every time this legislation comes up. And plus they have their political base, a lot of them who are members of the NRA that are very active
I mean, that's one of the things with the NRA is they're very efficient in organizing their membership to form these almost attacks on politicians and writing and letting them know what exactly how they stand. They have these form letters they send out so that they can sign them and send them to their politicians. They have these campaigns to communicate with the politicians, you know, about their NRA stance, and they're just really good at getting out there and swinging their membership.
You're saying that the constituency of these politicians is telling them to either drop it or run. Kim, right? Right?
Well, I'm not really, I have to tell you, when I think about those people, their constituencies, you know, the Wayne LaPierre's, the politicians that are getting rich from lining their pockets with corporate dollars to do exactly what the corporations want them to do. The 1%, the Mitt Romneys of this world, who don't care about the human suffering. What they care about is their bottom line. That's all that matters. They care about securing what's left of the finite and limited resources on this planet. In an old paradigm, yes, because they're not willing to shift into a new way of thinking. They'd rather die first. They want to exhaust everything on the planet, and then we all die. I guess that's the end game. But in the meantime, they're going to be filthy, stinking rich, and they're going to keep it all, and they're going to make it last as long as they can for themselves. And we can just be damned. We can be the people who produce for them. That's their, I think, vision of the world going forward. And I'm not into it. And so that's why I do my show and bring stories of people who are fighting it. And I love what Jack brought up about the group about infiltrating the NRA. I'm going to go look them up. I want to talk to them because they are doing something actionable to try to actually do something to change this paradigm that actually seems reasonable. And it actually seems like it might, you know, be something of a thing. I mean, if we could start that, a wave across the country, and take over the NRA and turn it in a direction that's suitable for human consumption, hey, I'm all for that.
You know, Mr. O'Brien brought up just a few seconds ago, he asked, are we naive or have we just become a society that doesn't care as long as our lives are not affected by it?
Well, we are addicted. We are addicted to what corporations give us. They give us Taco Bell. They give us Burger King. They give us McDonald's. They give us Comcast. They give us entertainment. They give us soda pop. They give us drugs. They give us everything we need to be addicted to this system, which makes it so hard for us to say no to it. And that's what makes them even extra special evil in my book. And
well, there's a very good reason for that addiction. I mean, kids from the very young age, they're programmed. I mean,
yes.
The addiction is well learned.
Yes,
the advertising dollars are affecting everybody from day one until, you know, every single day of their lives.
Like never before in the history of humankind has anyone ever been controlled the way we're controlled by the message from corporations. It's really insane. And it's very hard to break away from. I have a fast food addiction, and I struggle with it. And you know, I understand the dynamic, and I still struggle with it. I know what they're doing to me, and I struggle with it. And there are millions of people out there who don't give it a second thought that they're being poisoned and they're killing themselves, and McDonald's is laughing all the way to the bank.
No, not just McDonald's.
I use them as a reference point, I guess.
They're
interchangeable with any fast food corporation, which I think there really are only three, right?
Something
like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an illusion.
That reminds me, I did a post one time. It was called Bread and Circuses. And the thing is, as long as bread and circuses are supplied to the population, you'll never have a revolt. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
As long as you supply the flat screen TVs and just enough comfort to make their lives somewhat bearable, then you'll never have a revolt.
But
that's a shame to say, but it's true.
But I would say to you, look, little by little, the numbers are growing of the people who are without, and the bread and circuses don't no longer are something that they can chew on to keep themselves quiet because they're dying.
Well, here's a little trick of evolution, right? And why it is, I don't know, but it seems to be human nature. It's that we'll let that parasite ride for a long time until it starts to threaten our existence. Oh, then, now we're excited about the parasite. And that's kind of what I see as some sort of an evolutionary way of making things change, is that we seem to be programmed where we have to be pushed to the breaking point before we act about things like this. And so the people who are the antagonists seem to be programmed to push it beyond that point. They have to push it beyond that point, and we have to be pushed beyond that point. And then we decide to change things. And I know it's going to happen. It's inevitable. I just hope that, you know, maybe in this new age that we'll do it in a smarter way, that's more of a win-win for everybody, I hope.
Yeah,
you know, that's my hope.
Tim, you, Dave, myself, I mean, we're not, we haven't been pushed. We've been pushed way past the point. We're out here trying to wake people up. We're hitting the bushes with our sticks, saying, "Wake the fuck up!" And we take some responsibility with it and keep it up. We don't back down. I don't think anybody who was in the streets with Occupy or any one of the other enormous efforts that happened globally, in a harmony in the last couple of years, has backed down.
Oh, yeah. No.
It sort of reminded of a quote from Steinbeck. How can you frighten a man whose hunger is not only in his own cramped stomach, but in the wretched bellies of his children? You can't scare him. He's known a fear beyond every other.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the point where everything will change, is when bread is not supplied. You know, people start to go hungry, and that's when the whole paradigm is going to shift.
Well, you know, I beg everyone to take a really close look around you, even in your own community, and see where the hungry bellies are sitting right now, because they're there. They're there everywhere. And this is why, on a global basis, people have gotten into the streets. And I'll tell you what, for the most part, they've gotten in the streets in Western Europe under these austerity protocols that the governments have been pushing like frigging boots on their necks over there. And this is what this president is doing right now. He's got a boot on our necks to put onto the table with these bastards in Congress.
Yeah, well, it's time to fight back.
I think that folks are waking up. It's part of hitting the bushes with the sticks. We're the bushes beaters.
I totally believe they are. I mean, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think that it was reaching people, and that people were starting to kind of, their eyes were starting to pop open. And one of the things that I really hammer on is this, you know, stop blaming the government. The government is a tool. It's a tool of it's how they extract wealth from you. It's how they extract wealth from our economy, our society, our pocketbooks. That's how they're doing it. They're doing it through war. They're doing it through legislation. They're doing it in every which way. I live in a freaking place now where it's happening in my backyard in North Carolina.
Yeah,
they're
going to
privatize our water. They are. It's going to happen. And you guys need to keep your eyes on what's going on in Raleigh, North Carolina, because we are a petri dish. If you see it here, look for it coming to a place near you, unless you decide different.
David predicted this 3 years ago, didn't you, David?
Predicted what?
the beginning of the procurement by corporations and government of the clean water.
Oh, yeah. It's all about.
Yeah, I think I wrote a story about that, actually, the water wars. But I'm not the one that predicted it. There's a lot of people that have sounded the alarm.
Right.
Yeah, that's something that's
And the thing is, it's magnified with the fracking, because so much water is used for the process of fracking that some of those sites, those fracking sites, are taking precedence over the local community's water supply. And I've already seen it where water is being rationed at the same time giving unlimited supply to these fracking companies, and that's certainly not right.
Well, and you can't tell me that this move to privatize our water in Asheville isn't tied to just a greater grab for resources in general all across the globe, because it's happening, and I'm terribly, terribly upset about it. We had people here a decade ago that had the foresight to build a reservoir up in the mountains. It's pristine.
Yep.
It is untouched by human filth. It's up in the mountains, and that's in the watershed, and that's where we get our water. You can't tell me that if any form of corporate control gets their hands on that, that that's going to be that way for long.
Right.
It won't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it won't.
And trust me, there will be a time when water is considered more precious than gasoline.
Clean water.
That's the new frontier. It's re-regulating what resources really are. Is crude oil an actual resource any longer? Really? I mean, we have to redefine what our resources are.
Yeah, commodity. I'm talking about natural resource. You're right, because oil can be achieved from whatever country that we invade, but water, it's
pretty
a natural resource that you just can't take for granted, especially if it's being sold.
You guys want to see what ugly looks like when it gets a hold of power in a state, in your community? Take a look at Raleigh, North Carolina. And you'll have a real good idea of what will happen if they get a hold of your government in your state or your town. And it's not pretty.
No, not at all. It's becoming more and more city by city, state by state. There's a lot of corruption. And the corruption I refer to is the ownership by corporations. Here in my hometown in Lake Worth, the city, it's one place, one of the few places in the state of Florida where the city supposedly owns its own utilities and electric company instead of being with Florida Power and Light. And we have huge energy bills, utility bills here, three times the amount of anybody else. But then again, the property taxes are not as high as other places. So it's a push me, pull me, but...
Well, one of the things, you asked me at the beginning of the show if I'd heard any, was what was I hearing out there? And I was going to tell you about the thing that Bill Moyer said that struck me was he really brought the point home about how the corporation influences our direct well-being and how we live our lives, and that it's gone past the point of sustainability now, and we're at a tipping point.
Yeah.
And when you see Barack Obama giving away in theory or whatever, I don't know, it's gonna, it's this whole thing about the whole budget stuff. It's so crack. I can't even stand it. But he's saying is he's willing to give away money that I've put into a savings account that's called Social Security and Medicare.
Right.
It's not something somebody gave me. It's not something the government gave me. It's
right.
Money that I've been paying into my whole entire life. And there is no way that you can get around the fact that offering that up to the corporate party that runs the Republican Party in exchange for a pittance in revenue from them makes any sense whatsoever. It's sick. And I am so disappointed, not that it surprises me that much, because I've always considered Obama to be a corporatist. I just think he's more of a pragmatist. But it's over the line. It's over the line. It goes into that realm of, now we're taking something from you that actually belonged to you and giving it to the wealthy directly.
Well, people in Greece and Ireland and I believe Spain too the high incidence of elder suicides because of austerity measures and other places in Western Europe right now, except to the exclusion of Iceland and Germany. You know, Iceland is a real premier example of what can happen right with people and their government.
Sure.
They, you know, just give them marching papers or put them in prison.
there you go.
That makes sense.
I don't know if that would fly that cleanly here in America, but we certainly should be looking at ways to make that happen.
And
well, everyone, I'm gonna have to run, but it was good to be on the show talking to everyone.
Thanks, Jacob. See you later, man.
All right.
Thanks,
I'll talk to you later.
For being in.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, we're coming down to the end of the show anyways. Kim, do you have any announcements that you'd like to take advantage of the time here to put out?
Well, just invite everybody to come in and listen to A World of Progress Radio. It's awopradio.com, and I do a show on Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. For the meantime, I'm still doing it live. I'm debating about whether or not to just kick over to a full podcast platform with that and not do a live broadcast, but I'm still doing it live for the meantime, but
well,
just 2 p.m. Eastern. And it's over at awopradio.com, and it's a little show that I put together basically just to bring you the voices of people that are actually doing things to create positive social change in the world. And I share their stories with you and let them tell you what inspired them. You know, what's important is action and being clear about what's happening, then taking action. Otherwise, nothing really changes, but... anyway, I enjoy it, and I've had some real interesting people on. Gwen has been on, and I hope to have you on again, Gwen, to talk more about your journey with all this.
Thank you. I'd enjoy it. I really would. I had a good time the last time on. I'm wondering if there's any other anything else that you would like to? I know that you sit in with Kenny Pick, but I can't remember the name of his show. Up with Kenny
Pick.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. On Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern, I do. I'm in with the first 30 minutes of Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pick. And I do an indie media segment where I share with his listeners who are primarily there to... you know, they're there for, it's a fun show. It's political satire and political comedy. So, you know, it's not all about gloom and doom. And it's, so you know, a lighthearted look at the day's insanity, right? So I just started with them a little 5-minute or so segment. I talk to them as conversationally, but I do my own 5-minute segment on a new show that I found that I feel like everybody should know about that out there in the indie media world. So. He gives me time for that, and I really appreciate that. He's awesome.
Great. We'll tune in, and thank you for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Stepping in for a round table like that. It's always good to know there's people out there that are up for it at a moment's notice, too, you know?
Well, I usually let my guests do most of the talking over at AWOP Radio because it's really all about them and their stories. And so it's nice, you know, to have an opportunity to get to talk to you guys and share my views and opinions on things every now and then. So I appreciate that opportunity.
You can always do that here, and I hope you'll come back.
Oh, I will. Absolutely. Anytime.
Okay. I want to remind everybody that this Tuesday midnight straight up, which would really be Wednesday, but it's still Tuesday on the other coast, we have the Pinko the Bear Show coming back. Pinko was on BTR for a long time, and he let it go for a while. He needed to lay it down and rest up, and he's ready to come back for once a week. So it's the Pinko the Bear Show. Straight up midnight on Tuesdays here on the Here Be Monsters channel. And Consciousness Shift will be with you on Thursday evening. I also want to remember, Wise Woman Media with Anita Stewart on Fridays, and I believe she's changing that time schedule to 10 p.m. Anita, you listening and by the keyboard, can you confirm that? And other than that,
hey, can I jump in and just tell Anita how much I love that show, Gwen?
Sure.
I know Anita's out there in the chat room. It's an opportunity for me to, as my dogs bark downstairs, to tell her how much I love that show. I listen to it every single week, and it really means a lot to me. It gives me a lot, and it's wonderful, and I'm trying to turn as many people onto it as I possibly can. So keep up the great work, Anita. Thank you.
She does a great job, and she finds ladies that have such great stories to share and some really, really wonderful guests that we all know. So please don't forget the Wise Woman Media on Friday evenings with Anita Stewart. And don't forget the Sunday show here with myself and Jack Jodell. And we are sponsored by Roundtree7. That's the number 7.com. Bringing knowledge to the social consciousness. And also daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. I'm getting better at doing this, Kim. Can you hear it?
Yeah, you're
just whacking off at the back end of the show.
Whoa. Taking it home.
And so I am going to play us out here with our little theme song for the Sunday show. And thank you all for listening. This has been Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody in the chat room.
Around you, and you will see who you are. On a clear day, how it will astound you that the glow outshines every star. You'll feel hot at every mountain, sea and shore, and you can hear from far and near a world you've never heard before. But on that clear day, on that clear day, you can see forever and ever, evermore. You can see.
This has been the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell and Gwen Berry. We thank you very much for listening in, and we hope to hear you come back again, or you come back, hear us again, or however that goes, but we really appreciate you. So, have a great Sunday evening.